this session. It is called The Current State of Healthcare Payment Models in the Economic Community of West African States, and I'd like to invite Dr. Oyelowo to the podium.
Dr. Oyelowo.
So I realize I am what is keeping you from your first glass of wine, maybe this evening, I'm not sure. So I'll do what Dr. Killinger did and start with a story. About 5 years ago, I was in my office, and in walked a colleague of mine who had retired from practice after 35 years in practice, and he had retired to West Africa. And he walked into my office and he says, "I need help." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by you need help?" And he says, "I'm busier now than I was in 35 years in practice in the States. And had I known I'd be this busy, I'd have gone home some 20 years prior." So I went to visit, and sure enough, my very first day, I thought I was there to observe, and within about 30 minutes of being there, I had to get to work because there was a long, long line waiting outside. And then 2 years ago, I was sitting here, and Dr. Dana did a little presentation on her trip to Ghana and just what had been transpiring. Then I got to thinking, well, how feasible is it really for a chiropractor trained in the United States to go and practice in West Africa? And if it isn't feasible, what are some of the other options available? And that's what led to this presentation here today. So I have nothing to disclose. I took a group of countries in West Africa that are considered the economic community of West African states, that about a dozen countries that got together about 30 years ago to pool economic resources for better outcomes for all. I also then looked at the literature to see what was available by way of health reimbursement models. There wasn't as much as I had hoped, and so I moved into some key informant interviews and then sent a survey to all the practitioners in the region that we could find that had email addresses. As far as the review was concerned, these are some of the terms we used, and primarily out of PubMed and African Journals Online. So what did we get back? We had looked at about 5 reviews, 8 individual papers, interviewed 3 key informants, and got 6 of 13 surveys returned. So how feasible is this as we think globally and act locally? Well, very simply put, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. In that region, you're looking at a total population of somewhere around 300 million people and a total of about 25 chiropractors. So you're looking at about 1 chiropractor per, what would you say, 12 million people. Like I said, the harvest is plentiful. So what would make the most sense in terms of increasing the number of chiropractors practicing in that area? Well, it would really be to have a school in the area. And we've sort of traded that idea as chiropractic colleges for several years. But as many of you might know, about 10 to 12 years ago, when this movement of having international satellite schools began, many were aided by government funding. And as many of you might know, in the last 3 to 5 years, many of those schools have pulled out. And part of the reason is that there's a very high cost to having faculty go internationally to offer education. It's about 3 times the cost of keeping faculty locally. And in addition, many of those schools were not able to get the enrollments to what they had anticipated they would be. Option number 2 is to have students come from these countries to the United States and get trained here. And there again, you have mixed results. You have the Kenya experiment, which is what I'll call it, which is where I would say about 90% of the Kenya Chiropractic Association is made up of former students who were all had one donor, who had paid for their education to come to the States, and the majority went back to practice. What you do find, though, in most other populations is that students come here, but then they don't return. And there's lots of reasons for that. Part of it is if the education isn't completely free, then they're looking at loans that have to be paid back. The other part of that is that there's a need at home with family, and there's income that can be generated here much quicker than it can be generated there to support family at home. And so the third option then is overseas trained practitioners going overseas to practice, going to West Africa to practice. And given the cost of chiropractic education, that becomes really challenging for the younger grads, The older grads who have maybe approaching retirement have paid off debt, that becomes a little bit easier to do. And as to what is health financing like in West Africa, well, private spending on health accounts for about 56% of total health spending. And this is kind of going just right across the board in the middle. When you actually look at the data, in many, many countries, it's over 70%. And then in a few, it's on the lower end as well. And when I talk about private spending, I am not talking about insurance-based spending. I'm talking about out-of-pocket costs. Public spending, where governments are supporting healthcare, accounts about 40-some percent of what is taking place. And again, that's going right through the middle. The range is actually a lot more broad than that, with most governments really contributing less than 25% to the healthcare funding in the region. And then you have external resources, grants and the like, that account for a lower percentage. And that's very condition specific. So grants coming in, say, for HIV or that type of thing, for very specific conditions. We all know the socioeconomic implications of health, but I should also say that particularly in the region, health outcomes are affected by more than socioeconomics. They're also affected by the health of the healthcare system itself. And you see that when you look at some countries that have, you know, higher per capita GDP, but still have more poor outcomes than those who have lower per capita GDP. So what is the cost of services for chiropractic care in the ECOWAS countries? It ranges anywhere from the low end, about $5 per office visit, to the high end, about $50 per office visit, $50 plus. And that's usually requiring, that's usually in practices where you're seeing, doing the adjustment plus. I should also say that there's a lot of wealth on the continent, and you can imagine that those in the 50-plus category are seeing the politicians, quite frankly. As far as methods of payment, like I said earlier, it's most always cash at the point of service, but barter arrangements are also very popular, and these long-term payment plans and structures. So what else is available to support the health environment on the continent, on the West African continent, portion of the continent anyway? National health insurance is gaining traction as a means of offering public health services to many in the region. Currently does not cover chiropractic services. You're looking at sort of the higher risk populations, maternal and child health, malaria, HIV, and so on. The community-based health insurance is really gaining in popularity. It's small communities grouping together to pool their resources and provide health care to the people in the community. Been around for about a decade, growing in popularity, and really good opportunities for chiropractic care in these environments, because they are treatment and services are locally driven. I won't spend too much time on donor funding, but just to say that it does exist. But looking ahead at what are the opportunities available, minimally engaging the private sector and getting these public and private partnerships combined together, and then thinking of faith-based organizations. And I thought that was worth spending a little bit of time on, because chiropractors are oftentimes involved in faith-based organizations for missionary-type care, missions-type care. And looking at faith-based organizations, not just as providers, but as healthcare financers, is worth merit, is worth giving some consideration. So what do we know? The challenges, like I say, are that younger doctors, the cost is a little bit too much. It would be wonderful if we had retirees retiring to spend a fair amount of time, and I say a fair amount of time, 1 to 5 years, in the communities providing care, perhaps with the faith-based organizations helping to support the practices that are being offered. Why does it matter? Well, we all know of the burden of low back pain. It's pretty significant in the region. Like I said a few minutes earlier, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Thank you.